Bikurim Perek Beis, Mishnah Test 2:9, a straight continuation of the previous Mishnah. Here we'll start by saying the ways in which Ketzad Shava L'Chaya, the ways in which the koi is treated the same way as a chaya, an undomesticated animal. Now, we could reframe or rephrase this Mishnah as listing the ways in which there are disparate halachas that apply to a chaya in contrast to a behema, and in the scenarios where a chaya is treated more stringently, we will apply the stringency also to the koi, since the koi is at least a suffix, a possible chaya. So in scenarios where the chaya is treated more stringently, we will treat the koi the same way, of course only misuffic out of doubt for a doraisa, and midrabanan will be lenient. And that being the case, the Mishnah says, it'll give three cases. The first is demo ta'un kisui kadam chaya. The blood of a koi needs to be covered just as the blood of a chaya needs to be covered. This is referring to the mitzvah of kisui hadam, which is a requirement of covering the blood of either a chaya, an undomesticated animal, or a oaf, a kosher bird, when they are shechted for consumption. There's a separate mitzvah to cover their blood with dirt. That does not apply to a behema. When one slaughters a cow, goat, or sheep for consumption, there's no mitzvah to cover the blood. Since the koi is possibly a chaya, we're going to treat it stringently and also require one who slaughters the koi to cover its blood with some dirt. Of course, since it's a mitzvah, it'll need a bracha, and the bracha that one recites over the covering of the blood would not be recited over covering the blood of a koi, because since it's only a mitzvah derabanan, and it's only a suffix, it's possibly that it is and possibly that it isn't obligated to be covered with blood, we will treat the mitzvah d'orais of kisui hadam, covering the blood, stringently, and require one to do it, but we will treat the mitzvah of the reciting of the bracha, which is a mitzvah derabanan, leniently, meaning one is not allowed to say the bracha over the covering of the blood of a koi. Now the Mishnah goes on to say, Ein shochtan aso b'yom tov. Now one may not slaughter the koi on yom tov. This, of course, is not a way in which the koi and the chayah are treated the same, lahalacha. In other words, although the topic of this Mishnah is the ways in which the koi and the chayah are similar, nevertheless, this sentence, this phrase, is not the same when it is applied to the regular chaya as it is to the koi, because one may shecht a chaya on Yom Tov, one's allowed to, he just has to cover the blood with dirt. The issue would be that the dirt is typically, under normal circumstances, dirt is considered to be d'muktzah, unless it's designated ahead of time. And the assumption in the Gemara is that when one has an oven handy, the ashes at the bottom of the oven are already sort of pre-designated for covering the blood of an animal. But the way the Bar Tanur learns, one is that dirt at the bottom of the oven is only like pre-designated, if you will, for covering the blood of a vadai chaya and not a suffix chaya, a certain chaya, not a doubtful chaya. And that being the case, that soil or dust or dirt or ash in the oven would be considered still muktzah and ineligible for covering the blood. And that's what the Mishnah here says. The Mishnah says, Ein shochtan aso b'yom tov, you can't shecht it on yom tov, the koi, lest you have to come to cover the blood, but you won't be able to. V'im shachato, and if you did, so you violated this din of not doing it, but if you did, ein machas in his damo, now you won't be able to cover the blood, according to Bar Tanur again, because the soil that's set aside for it is presumably only set aside for covering a vadai animal's blood, not a suffix animal's blood, and it's a suffix animal's blood. It's a little strange, although that is how the Rambam learns, as does the Rosh and the Rush, and the Bar Tanur here. It's a little strange as much as that would come out then that if a person specifically set aside soil for covering the koi intends to slaughter on Yom Tov, it would be permitted. And therefore, according to the Maskana of the Gemara is in Beitza, Daf Ches Amud Aleph, and this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The reason why here the Mishnah says one may not shecht the koi on Yom Tov is actually not because one wouldn't necessarily have ashes to cover handy, but rather because, as the Gemara calls it, we're concerned mishum hataras chelbo. We're afraid that one who witnesses the covering of the blood of a koi would assume, the only reason that you're obligated to cover the blood of the koi on Yom Tov, notwithstanding the fact that under many circumstances, most circumstances, the dirt would be mukta, it's because the koi is treated as a vadai chaya, that we're treating the koi as certainly as a chaya. And if one would incorrectly infer that, so then he would assume that since it's a chaya, the chelev, chelev are the, in all animals, like human beings, true and truth, fat is stored in two different ways. Some fat is stored as, like, subcutaneously under the skin, like what we think of as fat, and that's in the meat, that's like rolled, it's like marbled into the meat, the flesh you eat, and, you know, when you have a steak, whatever it is. So that fat is called shuman, and shuman is permitted to be eaten, and it's whatever it is, shuman's, we eat it. Chelev are the hard fats. They're actually organ fats that go around the internal organs. The English word name for that is suet, S-U-E-T. And when it comes to chelev, it's actually forbidden to eat the chelev of a kosher animal. And the penalty for eating chelev of a domesticated animal, I should have said, meaning the cow, goat, or sheep, the behema, it's forbidden to eat the chelev. And the penalty for eating chelev is an iser karas, divine excision, premature death, and that is very severe in the same league as eating on Yom Kippur and eating chametz on Pesach. And that being the case, Chazal were afraid, says the Gemara, people would assume that the chelev is permitted to be eaten because the chelev of a chaya is permitted. And if one would be covering the blood on Yom Tov, then onlooker would think it must be vadai, certainly a chaya, and therefore that would mean that the chelev, the internal organ fats, are permitted to be eaten. And that's bad news, because someone might do an iser karas. And that being the case, the Maskana of the Gemara and how the Shulchan Aruch paskens is, in all events, even if you have set aside ashes or dirt to cover the blood, it's still forbidden to shech the animal, lest one have to cover the blood. And if one did cover the blood, then there would be a misinterpretation that we're treating the koi as a vadei chaya. Now, if you did shecht the koi on Yom Tov, and that's the wrong thing to do, but if you did it after Yom Tov, if the blood would still be not all absorbed in the ground, there would still be a mitzvah to cover it. Out of Suffolk, you'd have to cover it again without a bracha, but that's a side point. Now, the second way in which the koi is tantamount to or treated like a chaya is that the chelbo metama betumas nevela kachaya. The chelev, those hard fats, the internal organ fats, are a source of tuma. There's a different thing altogether. When it comes to a behema, so the organ fats are forbidden, but they do not convey tuma. Even if it's a nevela. Even if it's a nevela, meaning that you have a regular behema that wasn't shechted properly, it didn't get proper ritual slaughter, in which case the carcass of the behema, like the carcass of a chaya, conveys tuma. It's a pretty severe form of tumah, more severe than just a regular, say, sheretz. It conveys tumah both by direct contact and even by sparing its weight, maga and masa. But in the event that the chelev we're talking about here is the chelev of a behema specifically, so then the chelev does not convey tumah like the rest of the flesh. In contrast, a chaya's chelev conveys tumah just as the rest of the flesh of the chaya does. And that being the case, we're saying that if one slaughters a koi, so then the internal organ fats, the chelev, we're going to assume it conveys tuma the same way that a chaya's chelev conveys tuma. But of course, as the Mishnah says, v'tumaso besafek, it conveys tuma, but only misafek, only out of doubt. Meaning that if, hypothetically, a person was exposed to chelev of a koi, and then he went to the Beis HaMikdash, he wouldn't bring the usual korban, which is an olav yored korban, a special kind of offering one brings if he would go into the Beis HaMikdash area as he was tamei. And similarly, if the chelev of a koi would touch truma, let's say, he wouldn't burn the truma because it's only a safek, it's only possibly tamei. So that's the second way in which the koi is like the chaya, that we treat its chelev as if it were tamei. And the third thing is ve'ein poden bo peter chamor. One is not able to use a koi to redeem a firstborn donkey. It is the mitzvah in the Torah called Pidyon Peter Chamor, the redeeming of the firstborn male donkey. One has to take a seh. A seh is either a goat or a sheep, and use that as to redeem the firstborn male donkey. One simply cannot use a koi, even though a koi might be treated like a goat. Nope, but you can't use it because we're mesupak, we're not sure if it's a goat, and therefore we treat it like a chaya, like a deer, etc. And that would be true even if your koi mated with a goat or a sheep. Still, the offspring could not be used to redeem a chamor, a donkey, because again, we're afraid that even the offspring doesn't have the status of being a seh. Okay, so those are the three ways in which the koi is treated like the chaya out of doubt. Now, in the next mishnah, we'll talk about how it's treated like a behemah.